And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael here, DetroitLions.com. Game week, Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Kenny Brown. Game week.
Say finally game good. Week. Finally game good. Week. Even though now preseason is not as long as it was before. You don't have nobody has to travel to Buffalo on that Thursday night before the holiday like every year used to be for that bad game that nobody played. But, you know, Jeff Garcia gets hurt in or James Stewart gets hurt in. We don't see that anymore, right? Now it's a whole week off before the game, the first Hold game on. Of the season.
Let's take a show of hands out there. How many people know about James Stewart and Jeff Garcia?
Well, if you're over 20, if you're over 20 years old, you should know about them. Those were famous fourth game preseason injuries for 200, Alex.
I got one you didn't mention.
Who?
Fourth quarter in Baltimore, 1979, fourth preseason game. Gary Danielson out for the year with a knee injury.
All right, thank you for
everybody. Yeah, he actually hurt it on the last play of the third quarter, and they sent him back out there because they didn't know it was and his leg buckled.
As bad as that injury was, and Gary Daniels was a good guy, and I know him, and yep. He that did get us Billy Sims.
Yes.
so for the pain that Danielson had to endure for that year, the payoff was Billy Sims the next year. So.
Gary, are you doing anything this January?
Right.
So that's how you got
Billy Sims. So.
So, thank you, Hutt. Thank you, Gary. Right. Well, you know what? They're both from Defiant Child.
That's right.
You better not. You know what? This could be tampering.
Well, let's get into it, man. Final Hard Knocks tonight. We already know who got cut, but I do want to see this to see the way people got cut and see how Campbell goes about his business. I just like to see the insides. This is why I like Hard Knocks. Forget about all the other stuff, the rah-rah stuff and whatever. I like to see the inner workings of how, you know, a training camp works and inner workings of what they are talking about behind the scenes, not on the field. To me, that's what I like about it. So I like to see how they handle cut week, even though we know who got cut.
Yeah, we know who got cut. You know, I haven't seen that episode yet, but just, you know, from covering the team for a long time, covering the league for a long time, I think cutdown day is a lot less dramatic than it was even 20 years ago, but certainly 30 or 40 years ago, and some of the oddest things would happen. For example, Lions had training camp out at Oakland U in those days, and cutdown day came. Kid, he's about a free agent wide receiver. He hid in the woods. They couldn't find him. They couldn't cut him. That's a true story.
Wow. Yeah, it's a whole different thing now. Plus, like you so Campbell said, going into the week, there was about 10 spots for grabs, and everything else is pretty much set. So pretty much guys knew who was going to make it and who wasn't. Maybe one or two surprises, but that's just the way it is. But I just want to see it, so that's that. Now, things that happened since the last time we did a podcast. Tim Boyle was on the team, I believe, the day we did the podcast. Then he was on he was cut, and everybody presumed he was going to the practice squad. Come to find out, he decided to go to Minnesota. And next thing you know, they're bringing Tim Boyle back. I'm not in favor of this move, Michael, here.
Well, David Blau was the one who went to Minnesota.
What did I say?
I thought you said Boyle.
I might add. But David Blau, you know.
Everybody you know what? Knew what you're talking
David
about.
David Blau and Tim, they're one guy. Tim Blau Boyle. They should just be one guy, one bad player. Tim Blau Boyle. And they all just Blau. Because there's nothing. But what I'm upset with. Bring a guy in for the third quarterback or the practice squad quarterback that you can develop. Tim Boyle's not going to do anything for you, but I know why they brought him back, because he knows the offense in case something happens this week and Goff is hurting. You need a guy next week that can play before Sudfeld is ready.
Well, I could see that. I thought they needed to bring back one of those two, and my preference obviously was David Blau. I've said that before because I think he's got a little bit more football savvy than Tim Boyle does, but I think you needed somebody who knows that offense, knows the terminology and all that, to act as the go-between between the, you know, the head coach, the offensive coordinator and all that, to make sure that there's, you know, things move along more smoothly until Sudfeld, like you said, you know, gets up to speed on it. Now, how long does it take? It's not going to all happen overnight or in a week, but I think it's good to have somebody from the previous, you know, who'd been here to make things a little bit smoother for the quarterback.
Yeah, but I like to see in a couple of weeks they just let him go. A couple of weeks, let him go. and bring a young kid in, a young guy that might develop, or somebody you can take a look at. To me, that's what a practice squad quarterback. And I don't even know why you can't have more than one quarterback on the practice squad.
You got
50,000 spots on there now. You can put a couple of them on. I don't know why they don't do it, but you know, I'm not getting into the backup quarterback thing. Everybody knows that listens to these podcasts how I feel and how the Lions have fallen short with the backup quarterback. And that, you know, like I said, the chickens will come home to roost eventually, as they did a couple years ago, and they'll do again if you keep ignoring that position and just putting some middle of the road clown in there. But that's, I'm just gonna let
They're not middle of the road clown.
Yes, they are. They're middle of the road. Matter of fact, Tim Boyle, he's not middle of the road, off the road. You got off the road quarterbacks in there now. Guys that have no chance of being good in the league. You know, get some guys with some potential. Like I said, Nate Sudfeld, I'm holding out that he can become serviceable because he has taken snaps and he does have a Super Bowl ring, and I've seen him have some good play in preseason. So I'll hold out on him. But I'd rather see that type of quarterback than the things they were doing the last couple of years. Minnesota trades for Nick Mullen from the Raiders. You know, they go out and get a guy who's, you know, played recently in the league and started recently in the league as their backup. A lot of teams are getting good backups. The Lions just never do that. The last decent backup they had was Sean Hill.
One thing about Sudfeld, you know, he's been on squads with, you know, with good teams. You know, 4 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, 1 year with the San Francisco 49ers. Those were teams with good quarterback coaches, head coaches, and really developed, you know, really developed quarterbacks. So maybe some of that stuff that he's learned will, you know, maybe that'll show in Detroit. No, you hope not. You hope that they
I hope we never have to see it. Unless it's in a blowout.
But I would just think, though, that his experience with those coaches in those places, you know, they kept him for a reason. They kept him in Philadelphia for four years and did it for a reason.
Yeah. All right, enough with the backup quarterback. I'm sure half the audience is falling out to wherever they're listening to now. Let's get to some real stuff that happened. Another thing that happened during the last time to now is the offensive line, which didn't play one snap together last year, the starting offensive line, will now not play a snap yet this season again because of an injury that happened, a surprise injury. Big V was hurt, the right guard for the Lions. He was hurt and put on injury reserve. And according to the new depth chart, Tommy Kramer will be starting that right guard. But Big V hurt, big deal, little deal, or medium deal?
Well, it depends how long he's out. It's a big deal for however long he's out. But if he's out an extended period of time, it's an even bigger deal. I mean, he's the starting right guard for a reason. You know, he's a really good, solid football player. I'll tell you what, the guy who's replacing him, Tommy Kramer, if in fact that's who it is, and it seems that that's the way they're going to go. You know, he played and started three games last year as an undrafted free agent rookie, and apparently, from everything I've heard, they really like him, like his potential. So, you know, this might open the door for him, you know, for his career. But obviously, you want your starters back, and you want Big V to come back.
And he's an older guy because when he was the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, he played about 10 years, and now he's a guard. He's eating himself in the guard. So, you know, Tommy, that's a joke for those out there. That Tommy Kramer used to be the quarterback for the Vikings.
It was quarterback for the Vikings.
Now, my Big V comments. I was one that said they should have tried to trade him before the last pick anyway. I remember we talked about this in one of the podcasts earlier. I thought he was overpaid because he was paid to be the right tackle. He was paid right tackle money. And I thought he was good at guard, not great. And I thought the difference between him at guard and the next two guys at guard was not that big a gap. He was the better player. No arguing that. But it wasn't the great gap, and I thought Steinberg or Kramer could fill in for him if you would have traded him. I was saying get that money off the cap because he was paid to come in here and be the right tackle, and he got paid good right tackle money, just like the last guy they brought in had, the one from Wisconsin. I forgot his name now, went to Baltimore after he left. Remember they brought him in at right tackle, paid him all that money? They're paying this high end for right tackle. He's paid right tackle money. He wasn't a good right tackle. They moved him inside the guard, being overpaid. And I thought this was going to be his last year anyway here. So if Kramer comes in and does a great job, it might be a Wally Pipp thing here where he doesn't get that job back.
What made you think this would be his last year here, though?
By the contract. His numbers are huge next year. And like I said, he's good, but he's not that good. He's an adequate right guard. He was supposed to have been the tackle, like I said, and that's where they paid him to be, and he just never happened. And I thought he was on the – I thought they could have cut him this year, but I guess they didn't weren't sure of a backup. But I know his number for next year, either he renegotiated, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. And like I said, he's okay, Mike. He's not – You know, he's not – the other four guys are like pro bowlers and young rookies on the come up or, you know, good players. He's the fifth Beatle, man. He's Clarence, the fifth Beatle.
Clarence?
That's a Saturday Night Live thing. You never had watched Saturday Night Live. Never heard of Clarence, the fifth Beatle.
But I really thought it was Peter Green.
Eddie Murphy was Clarence, the fifth Beatle. Yeah, that sketch. Yeah. Anyway, for those out there that know what I'm talking about, he's Clarence, the fifth Beatle. So we'll see how Tommy Kramer plays. Like you said, during preseason, I was impressed by Kramer. And last year, I was impressed by him as a young player. I thought Steinberg also played good. I think you might see both of these guys play some snaps Sunday.
Well, he's from Kentucky. He was a fourth or fifth round draft pick. In fact, when they drafted offensive linemen back-to-back in consecutive rounds, I believe. It was 3 years ago, and it took him quite a while. He was really a tough guy.
Yeah, he was the mauler type, and
he really was. But I
the penalty machine.
Yeah, I think it's taken in. Well, he didn't get enough playing time here to get any penalties. Mm-hmm. But look, he's apparently developed, and we'll see what happens to him. But right now, for now, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Kramer. That was the case last year when they needed an emergency guard. It was Kramer, and I don't see any reason why that would change.
No, we'll see how it goes, and I think he'll do just fine. Like I said, I like Big V, and I think he's a good player, but I just think that he's one of the guys in that mix. No, to me, none of them stand out right now. And the young guys, they got a possibility to try to – they could stand out, depending on how long he's gone. We don't even know how long he's going to be gone. We don't even know what the injury is at the point.
Well, it's
going to
be at least from
at least four, but we don't know if this is a season ender or is it the four or six or eight or what happened. We'll find out later this week what happened. He could be gone for – You know, we might not even be talking about him because he might not be coming back, depending on what happened. So we'll just wait and see on that. Another thing that I'm looking on the depth chart today they put out, Chris Board is the starting linebacker. And Malcolm Rodriguez is a backup, and Derek Barnes is the backup. Anzalone and Chris Board are the listed first teamers there. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit. I thought Derek Barnes would be the starter opposite Anzalone. Board, good player, you know, I guess he's a good guy from the Baltimore Ravens, but I just thought that, you know, that Barnes had done enough to win that job. But look, I've also learned over the years, and I think we all have this, don't pay any attention to that depth chart that comes out because it doesn't always reflect what's exactly going to happen. So I'll wait till Sunday and see who plays the most reps before I get excited about who's listed as a starter, who isn't.
Yeah, well, I better see Rodrigo playing a lot. I don't know if he's going to – you got him as a starter or not, but to me, he deserves starter's reps out there because he played, to me, the best of the linebackers in preseason.
Well, I thought Barnes did.
Came on, but I thought Rodrigo was steady the whole time. Because the first game, Derek Barnes was not good.
Well, I thought Barnes was on it. Look, I'm not going to get an argument over this.
It's a good problem to have.
I thought Barnes really developed from what he played last year. He got, I think, played seven starts, played in all 17 games, and I thought he brought it up a notch this year. I really did.
Well, like I said, you got a first-year player and a second-year player as your young linebackers, and as long as they keep improving, I have no problem. You know, like I said, this is what you've been asking for, these young players in the pipeline. So I'm excited about that. They picked up Benito Jones, I think, since the last time we talked also. A stocky D-tackle. They needed some girth, and he's pretty girthy. So he'll be able to get
girth.
In there.
Yeah,
he'll get in there.
Girth.
And he really takes Pennacini's place as that girth guy, you know.
For people who don't remember, John Pennacini was made the roster as a sixth-round draft pick 2 years ago, but retired from football this year. He had some family issues. Never really been specified, but apparently something that he thought was more important to take care of than to play football. And it's too bad because he was a good, solid tackle. I mean, he was tough to move out of there. He really was.
And he might be back 1 year. I mean, like you said, he's very young. He's young. So, you know, once you straighten out whatever's going on with him, he may be coming back. And like I said, he was a good plug player. So So that's something we'll miss.
You can't argue with his priorities, though. If it's family first, it's family.
Well, I said, hopefully he clears himself up 1 year and he'll be able to come. He's only, I'm sure he's in his mid-20s, so he's got time.
Big guy.
Yeah. A lot of speculation on the defense this year. We're going to talk about defense offense, the way you think they're going to respond this year, where they're going to rank. I was looking at the Athletic thing where they rate the Lions defense one of the worst in the league, and it might be the worst in the league. And I don't see that. I mean, I saw some improvement in defense this year. And I'm not saying they're going to be the 78 Steelers or anything, but I think they're going to be decent on defense, decent enough that the offense-defense scenario together is a positive, you know, instead of a negative. Like, you know how it is. If you got one helping the other, I think the offense is going to be good enough to help the defense out. I think the defense will hold their own enough so that the offense can do their thing.
Well, it certainly would help a lot, but, you know, there's a couple of things that working against. We haven't, you know, Levi Onwuzurike. Are we ever going to see him this year? You know, he's got a flare-up again of that issue that bothered him all in his rookie year.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him.
Well, I don't know if you can put too much stock in him now. If it's the same injury, then you just got to – if you get something out of him, that'll be good. I think you get to that point where you can't wait anymore. I think the second year may be a little early, but by the end of this year, you'll know. If he's going to be a chronic back problem, then you just – that's a second-round pick that didn't do anything. You got to move on. That's the way I see it.
It's something like the hip to the back.
Yeah,
or whatever
right. Now, he toughed it out and played last year. I don't know what kind of level he played on and what kind of level he's going to play on this year. But like I said, by the end of this year, you'll know about him. If he's, you know, if he's just going to be one of those guys that got hurt and never amounted to what you thought he was, and then you move on. I mean, but you got other guys that are stepping up in his place, though. I mean, you got – and I hope to see our second-round pick, Josh Cornell, eventually –
No, Paschal.
I'm sorry, Josh Paschal. Cornell's on the team. Paschal play, who's an inside guy, tackle guy, rush guy. After he's had a soft tissue injury, which was a hernia, I believe, so I expect to see him this year.
Yeah, a sports hernia.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, like I said, if you get something out of him by the end of the year, and I always give players the first year to get in the league and do their thing, but if you get something out of him, then you got another tackle that you can put in that mix. So to me, those two are kind of the same, not the same player, but the same type of player, don't you think? Upfield rushing tackles, quick off-the-ball tackles?
Yeah, I would think that Paschal might have a little bit more flexibility. I mean, it's hard to see because he's seen so little of Onwuzurike, honestly, and seen nothing of Paschal, to be honest with you.
Well, we saw a minicamp, a couple of reps against the bag.
Right.
That was about it. He had some nice reps against the bag.
But yeah, then it's too bad because from the Lions' standpoint, you know, second round pick, that's an important, you know, asset to give up for a draft pick. You don't get anything out of it. And that's right now that's the issue with Paschal, although we expect him to come on, and then we'll see, like we said before, about Onwuzurike.
Yeah. So now I'm gonna give you one player that could be a big deal this year or be a bust. And
can I?
You know who I'm talking about, so go ahead and say it, and then we'll see if we got the same guy.
We go Jeff Okuda.
No, I ain't talking about him. I'm counting Okuda is going to have a solid year, just be good.
I am
we'll
too.
See if he ever becomes the player that he was supposed to be coming out of college. We'll see. But I think if he just gives me some solid cornerback this play year and plays and doesn't get hurt, then that's a successful year for me.
All right.
I was talking about Austin Bryant. To me, he's the wild card.
Boy, I tell you what, he started to play last year. I think he had four sacks all late in the season, got into the rotation. And he looks to me like, you know, he was the third or fourth defensive lineman to get drafted out of Clemson and sort of got overlooked, you know, with some of those stars there. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's time to start taking a second and third look at him because he really, really looked like he's been coming on. Really
well, this
could,
is his
really
opportunity.
Defense.
With a warrior,
yeah, we'll find out. Yeah,
with a Quora being hurt, and for the you know on the NFLI list or whatever list they put him on the injury list, you got some games before he comes back if he comes back at all this year. This is your chance right now. You're going to get some playing time. You're going to get some time, so we'll see.
Yeah, which Quora are you talking about? There's two of them.
Well, one of them, Julian, I think is back practicing, but
yeah,
the. Romeo,
brother,
you know,
yeah.
who he'll be fighting for playing time when he comes back because they play the same position, basically. So you got a chance now while he's hurt to put you – this is when you make your mark. And if you play – he's been – like you said, he's been coming on since the end of last year, played real good during the exhibition season. So we'll see if this is it.
And Kenny looked really good in those those combined workouts against the Indianapolis Colts too. I mean, he really did. You know, one thing about him, he's long and he's got a little like football or basketball player arm length. I mean, that's a real helpful one. That gives him an advantage over most offensive linemen. He's just and he's quick and he likes the nasty stuff too. And I like that in a player.
Yeah. So, okay, well, that's defensively. Anybody else defensively that you think is a wild card, or we move the offense?
Well, the one thing that surprised me was Jared Davis being signed to the practice squad. I think it's a good move because, look, he's plug and play. If you need a guy to play, he can get you through a game. You know, he's got experience, you know, 6-year player. I thought that was a surprise signing by the Lions, but I thought it was a good one. Good, valuable team guy.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works out. Now, offensively, I think the key, and I'm surprised I'm saying this, and I hope we don't tape this, but Josh Reynolds, man, I mean, I've been hearing so much about how improved he is and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought
yeah.
he was going to be a guy, you know. But I think he may be getting a lot of time because I don't know about you, Mike, but I saw DJ Chark do a lot during practice. And he didn't play that much during games, but in the game time, I didn't really see it. I know he didn't play a lot of those preseason games.
He didn't play.
Right, but I'm just saying, I want to see if that transfers on to game day. But Josh Reynolds, he played during his preseason.
Yeah, but they were holding their starters out.
I understand.
I think you're reading way too much.
All right, but I still think Josh Reynolds is going to surprise some people this year.
I'm not taking anything away from Josh Reynolds, but DJ Chark, he is smooth, he's fluid, he can explode out of the blocks and get open. He's got just soft hands, good hands. I think that is really, really a good signing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, and don't leave my boy out. I know he was the last probably roster spot. That's right. Don't leave him out because when he's not hurt. And he just seems to make plays. Even the last game, touchdown. I mean, he just seems to make plays in games. And before he got hurt last year, he was making plays in games. So I don't know how much time he's going to get, but don't sleep on him.
Yeah, and I also think he gives them a role that they really don't have on that roster without him. That's a strong, tough inside guy who can, you know, use his body control and body position, almost like a basketball player, you know, getting rebounds. I think he does that, and I think he probably does that better than any of the other receivers on that roster. But I'm not saying he's better than they are. I'm just saying that little part of it, he can get open and catch the ball, catch it in traffic, and pretty secure. Now, look, there's a guy we haven't mentioned now. We're going to talk about receivers, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown. We are looking at an absolute stud there, wide receiver.
Hines Ward.
Be good for a long, long time.
Hines Ward.
Who has exactly 1,000 career receptions.
Hines Ward is what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Hines Ward.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Now, somebody who's got to either get off the pot or move out the way. It's a big year for T.J. Hockenson. I've heard how great he is. I mean, I've heard all the stories. The tight end camp, he gets the trophy. I heard all the stuff. He had one Pro Bowl year. He's got to stay healthy. And he's got to produce a full season. I haven't seen it yet, and this is his contract year. He's got to either do it or get off the pot because he's got too much talent not to be dominant.
What if he's just good?
I think you move on because he's going to get paid.
So what are you going to do then?
He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid. And I'm not paying for okay. He's going to get paid because if he goes on the market – somebody's going to pay him because he's talented. He's talented as all get out, but he's got to stay healthy. And I want to see a 7,900 yard, 8-9 TD year from him. That's what I want to see. At least I definitely want to see a over 8 touchdown year from him because in the red zone he can be dominant. But he's got to do it.
I think you ought to be in charge of the refund desk or contracts. You seem to be obsessed with what players
are doing. Well, Mike, look, you got a young team. They're the second youngest team in the league. Now you got to find out where your money's going to be distributed for years to come. Where are you going to tie your money up in? You can't tie it up and get it tied up in players that aren't going to produce at that level. Don't make bad contracts. And this is a proven year for him. Is he worth the next contract? Or does James Mitchell, you start moving him in if he shows something and take his place and you let TJ go? It all depends on this year.
I have no further comment on this. I'm sorry.
I know. You don't get into the finances of it because, but I do. I think, like the Big V contract, it's a bad contract and you can get out of it.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense. You're not going to overpay for a bad contract, man.
Who said you're overpaying?
You're going to overpay him.
He's played three seasons in the National Football League with the Detroit Lions. He made the Pro Bowl in one of them. And he had 60 catches in 12 games in his season before he went down. He's one of the top 5, 6, 7 tight ends in the National Football League.
Oh, no. See, that's again. I'm reading the bottom of the synopsis sheet. Heard every year. How come you didn't mention that?
The bottom of what synopsis sheet?
Of the T.J. Hawkins synopsis sheet. All that good stuff you just said about him, top seven tight end. Heard every year.
Whose sheet is that?
It's my sheet. Heard every year.
Oh, okay.
Heard every year.
This is the Ken Brown sheet.
Yeah, the Ken Brown sheet. Heard every year. Okay. Elevate his game. Not a very good blocker. Should be a good blocker. Came out of college with a reputation of being a great blocker. So it's time for him to maximize his production. I want to see it. I want to see a full season out of him.
I like the guy.
Yeah,
I can tell.
We had him on every. He was our guest last year. I like the guy personally. I like him. I think he's got talent. But it's get off the pot or do it. That's what it is.
So now that he's left your show, you've turned on him.
I turned on him. I haven't talked about Frank Ragnow yet, who is doing our show this year and how great he is. Did I say anything yet about Frank?
Not yet.
He's our guy this year, so I would be pumping him up if I was doing it by, who does the show. But
he missed 13 games last year, 2 games the year before. You going to get rid of him?
No, because he's the best in the business at his position.
Probably is.
He's the best in the business at his position.
You're probably right about something.
He's the best in the business at his position. So anyway,
powerfully built man.
Let's get into this before we get out of here. We already took up too much time. Philadelphia, good test, good game to start with. Just like the San Francisco game was a good game to start with last year. You get right off the bat, you can rate yourself against one of the very good teams in the league. And I'm telling you right now, this team is one of the very best teams in the NFC. So you'll know right away where you stand after this game.
You mean it's over after this game?
No, you'll know where you stand, or you know where you need to improve. If you need to improve, are you going to be on that level? What level you are with? I like that better than playing like the worst team in the league and get an easy victory, or get a victory 21-17 against some bad team and you haven't learned anything. You're going to learn something at the end of this game.
Well, if I'm a coach or a general manager or an owner of a franchise, I want to win no matter what. We'll get all that other stuff later. But, obviously that the odds makers and the people who put out the betting lines and all that and the people who bet think that the Eagles are the better team. And I don't disagree with that. The line was -6, a while back. Then it was -3.5. And now it's -4, the latest one I saw today. Has the Eagles as a 4-point favorite, and I think that's about right. I don't think it's insurmountable by the Lions, but I think the Eagles deserve to be favored, but that doesn't guarantee anything, let's put it that way. Now, they really did try to load up, sort of like what the Cowboys have done in past years, and I think they want to overtake them in the NFC East, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see Jalen Hurts. Is he going to progress in his third year, or is he going to fall back, or is he going to stay the same? It depends on how you look at it. But this is one thing the Lions do have. I think the secondary of the defense is the Lions' weakest spot on that defense. And Hurt is not a great thrower, so you just have to watch. You have to be on your run cues this weekend. But I think you're going to get a break. It's not like you're starting against Peyton Manning or something. A guy's just going to flame throw and throw 40, 50 times. So this may be to their advantage.
Yeah, in that game last year that they won 44-6, he didn't He ran for 71 yards on seven jaunts and passed for about 20 yards, I think it was, without a touchdown, but certainly ran that offense. You know, look, he rushed for almost 800 yards for the season last year and 10 touchdowns. So really, that's one thing you've got to do. You've got to be able to control him. You got to keep him in the pocket and not let him get outside, because if he does, he's going to make it a long, long day for you.
Yep, and that was Anthony Lynn's last game as offensive coordinator, too. That was the game where they made the change after that, because they were off the next week on a bye. When they came back, Campbell called the plays, which leads us into the final topic. Campbell today, Coach Campbell said, he isn't sure yet who's calling plays Sunday, and he said he'll be excited to know, too, by Sunday, which I don't believe it for a second. I believe he knows exactly who's going to be calling. Where do you fall in on it? Do you believe that he's not sure yet who's going to call the plays?
Oh, I think he's still thinking it over. You're talking about Dan Campbell. I think he likes doing it, obviously. I think anybody would like calling plays, but I would think it's going to be I think it's not going to be Dan Campbell.
It's going to be Ben Johnson?
I think it's going to be Ben Johnson. I do. Yeah.
Who called during the preseason games? Ben Johnson did, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I thought he did too, which to me says that he's going to continue that. But, you know, to me, a head coach, if he wants to run something, he's going to run it anyway, overrule the guy who's running it or calling. So let Ben call it. If it's something you want to run, he'll run what you want to run, but let the guy do the work. I think Campbell should be more concerned with the whole team than calling plays right now.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of coaches who do it, so I don't think it's...
Yeah, but those were coaches that have done it. They were also coordinators in past lives and, you know, just kept it, like Holmgren and Andy Reid, those guys who called plays. But he hadn't called plays before. He doesn't have to do it. I mean, if it turns out bad or something goes wrong, he can take it over. But just let the young guy call it. Him and Goff have a special relationship, and I think you should try to nurture that. Let's see what he got. Let's see what the young guy got.
Well, when you say he hasn't done it before, he did it for 9 games last year.
No, I'm talking about in his role to becoming head coach, he wasn't like a play caller. So it's not like Andy Reid and these guys in Holmgren. These guys were play callers before they got the head jobs. You know, Gary Payton, not Gary Payton, but Sean Payton. You know, these guys were play callers before they got head jobs.
Well, you know, there's some merit to that. Look, those guys who called plays and they weren't any good at it, and they called them the entire career. So I don't think that's necessarily means all of that. Look, I thought, let's put this way. I thought that when Dan Campbell called plays last year, he loosened up the offense and made it more productive. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did the same thing, but we'll find out. I think what he really should do is learn to call plays without moving his lips. And that way nobody would know who's doing it. I think that would be perfect.
Well, we'll see. All right, Mike, before we go, prediction for Sunday's game.
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. But if I were a betting man, and I'm not anymore, I would take the Detroit Lions 27-26.
I'm going to take the Eagles 28, Lions 17, 28-17.
An 11-point loss. Huh?
Yeah, 11-point loss. I just think that the Eagles, I like this Eagles team, and I think they're going to be one of the top teams in NFC this year. But I hope I'm wrong, but I think that this will be loss one. But this is my prediction also. Lions will be 2-2 after 4, and that's where they need to be. 2 out of the first 4.
Well, I'll take it even further. I have them going 9-8 and possibly making a wild card, getting a wild card berth in the playoffs.
Should have saved it, man.
Well, it came out, we published it Monday in the DetroitLions.com.
All right, well, I guess it can't be saved.
No, it can't be saved. It's out there in the fact that people have been picketing my house ever since.
All right.
Both ways.
That's right. All right, well, the season starts Thursday night. The Rams and the Buffalo Bills, where hopefully Stafford will lose, because remember, we got that pick coming from the Rams. I was on Stafford last year for winning games and winning the Super Bowl. Now he's got it. I got to go against anything the Rams do this year because I want to get the best pick possible. So hopefully loss number one comes this Thursday.
Well, I like the Bills on Thursday night. I really do. Right. I think that's a really good ball club.
There you go. All right, Mike, that's it. We'll be back next week for more on the K&M Podcast. Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com. Check them out. His stuff is on there every day. And for me, Detroit Lions, WJR, you'll see us starting next Monday with our center. He'll be our guest every week, and I was going to say Swanson. I don't know why I keep saying Swanson, but our center now, Frank Ragnow, will be featured every week, so check him out. He's very good. He was on last week with us, so you'll check him out on Mondays here on WJR 760. And for that, Mike, we are out today.